والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله مكتبة الموحدين بالبحر الكاريبي. يا صدى تقديم الشيخ العزيز الوصيفي حفظه الله ورعاه في كنوز وفوائد في شهر رمضان، وهذا في يوم الثلاثاء الأول من رمضان 1442 هجري الموافق 13 من أبريل 2021 ميلادي. Muhaddin Publications is pleased to announce a series of benefits بإذن الله تعالى during the month of Ramadan with Sheikh Ali Al-Wasifi حفظه الله ورعاه, and that's on the day of Tuesday, the 1st of Ramadan, 1442 Hijri, corresponding to the 13th of April, 2021 ميلادي. And the title of this series will be Treasures and Benefits in the Month of Ramadan. فيتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد أكرم الله سبحانه وتعالى هذه الأمة بشهر رمضان، هذا الشهر الذي تفضل الله سبحانه وتعالى فيه بنفحات وعطايا فوق العد وفوق الحصر، ولم يبق الله سبحانه وتعالى فيه لأحد عذرا، وقد فتح الله عز وجل فيه أبواب السماء، وفتح فيه أبواب الرحمة، وفتح فيه أبواب الجنة، وأغلق الله عز وجل فيه أبواب النار، وصفد الله عز وجل فيه مردة الشياطين. وهو الشهر الذي أنزل الله عز وجل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، وهو الشهر الذي تتضاعف فيه الحسنات، وهو الشهر الذي يعتق فيه الرقاب، يعتق الله فيه الرقاب من عذاب النار، وهو الشهر الذي جعل الله عز وجل فيه ليلة هي خير من ألف شهر، وهي ليلة القدر، وهو الشهر الذي يغفر الله عز وجل فيه ما تقدم من الذنوب لمن صامه إيمانا واحتسابا، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. ومعنى إيمانا أي إيمانا بفرضيته، ومعنى احتسابا أي احتساب الأجر عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، فلا يطلب العبد أجرا من أحد إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. وكان من المناسب أن ندخل في بيان عظمة هذا الشهر أن نتكلم في أمر عظيم أشار إليه حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي رواه البخاري ومسلم عن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: كل عمل ابن آدم له الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف، إلا الصيام أو إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. هذا الحديث في مقدمته بيّن الله عز وجل كيف يحاسب العباد، وكيف يتفضل الله عز وجل على العباد سبحانه وتعالى. فالله عز وجل يعطي الحسنة بعشر أمثالها، ذلك أن الرجل إذا هم بحسنة فلم يعملها كتبها الله عنده حسنة كاملة، فإذا هم بها وعملها كتبها الله عنده عشر حسنات إلى 700 ضعف، إلى أضعاف كثيرة. هذا بيان طريقة الحساب في جميع الأعمال، ولكن هناك استثناء في الصيام كما سيتبين. وقال وإن هم بسيئة فلم يعملها كتبها الله عنده حسنة كاملة، وإن هم بها فعملها كتبها الله سيئة واحدة. والهم هنا نوعان: هم بعزيمة لا تفطر، وهم يعني يريد الإنسان أن يفعل الشيء وإن منعه مانع تحسر على هذا المانع، يعني يريد أن يفعل الشر ولكن هناك مانع منعه من فعل الشر فهو متحسر لهذا المنع. وقد استبان قصده في إيذاء الناس ولكنه لم يتمكن من ذلك، فهذا رجل خبيث النفس منعته قوته من فعل الشر ولكنه عازم عليه عزيمة لا تفطر ولا تنقطع، فهذا كان حريصا على فعل الشر فهو وفاعل الشر في الوزر سواء، كما بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الرجل الذي آتاه الله مالا ولم يؤته علما، ولم يؤته علما، فهو لا يتقي الله في ماله والعياذ بالله، ولا يصل فيه رحمه، ولا يعطي فيه لله حقا. ورجل لم يؤته الله مالا ولم يؤته الله علما، فقال لو أن لي مالا لعملت مثل فلان، فهما في الوزر سواء. هذا الرجل، هذا الرجل تمنى أن يكون معه مال ليستخدمه في معصية الله، ولم يمنعه مانع، لم يمنعه مانع، ولم تمنعه عقوبة من الله عز وجل، ولم يمنعه خوف من الله، فاستمرأ المعصية والذنب والشر، وهذا قال فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهما في الوزر سواء. ومثال ذلك قوله إذا التقى المسلمان بسيفيهما فالقاتل والمقتول في النار، قالوا يا رسول الله هذا القاتل فما بال المقتول؟ قال إنه كان حريصا على قتل صاحبه ولكنه لم يتمكن من ذلك. أما حديث ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما فإنه يقول وإن هم بسيئة فلم يعملها كتبها الله عنده حسنة، يعني هم بها ولم يعزم على عملها ولم يصر على الإتيان بها، فهذا يكتب همه حسنة كاملة. فإذا هم بها وعملها كتبها الله، أي كتب الله السيئة، كتبها الله سيئة واحدة، كتبها الله سيئة واحدة. فالحديث إن الله كتب الحسنات وكتب السيئات، وقد بينا حقيقة ما في هذا الحديث كما بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما في حديث الصوم لي كل عمل ابن آدم له الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف ويضاعف الله لمن يشاء، فإلا الصوم طبعا الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب، ومن عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى فأولئك يدخلون الجنة يرزقون فيها بغير حساب. الله عز وجل لمن عمل صالحا فإنه يدخل الجنة يرزق فيها بغير حساب، ومعنى بغير حساب يعني بغير وزن، بغير وزن، ك فإنه يغرف له من العطاء غرفا، يغرف له غرفا بغير حساب، يعني بغير ميزان، يغرف له من العطايا غرفا. إلا أن الصوم أعظم من ذلك، إلا أن الصيام في الجزاء أعظم من ذلك، لأن الله عز وجل يوفي فيه بما لا يعلم عظم هذا الأجر أحد إلا الله. والعلة في ذلك قال فإنه لي، يعني فإنه عمل خالص لي وأنا أجزي به. معنى فإنه لي، معنى فإنه لي أي هو عمل خالص لله سبحانه وتعالى يجزي الله عز وجل فيه بالإخلاص، يجزي الله عز وجل فيه بماذا؟ بالإخلاص. والإخلاص ليس هناك شيء أعظم منه. وهذا الحديث له عدة معاني، قوله فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به، فإنه لي إلا الصيام، فإنه لي أي إنه عمل باطن خالص لا يقصد به ولا يراد به إلا الله، يعني من ناحية الإخلاص عمل توافر فيه الإخلاص واستقام فيه علم القلب بعمل الجوارح والأركان، فلم يخالف فيه الظاهر الباطن، والباطن والظاهر سواء، هذا عمل خالص لله. والله عز وجل لا يقبل من الدين إلا ما كان خالصا صوابا، والخالص أن يكون لله، والصواب أن يكون على سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يبقى إذن الصوم لي إلا الصوم فإنه لي، يعني عمل خالص لي. وقيل إنه إلا الصيام فإنه كفارة للعبد، فإنه كفارة للعبد. والمراد أن الصيام، أن الصيام لا يقتص منه عند للمظلومين يوم القيامة، فإن الرجل يأتي يوم القيامة وقد سب هذا وشتم هذا وسفك دم هذا وأخذ من هذا، فيأخذ هذا من حسناته، ثم حتى إذا فنيت حسناته أخذ من سيئاتهم، ثم طرحت عليه وطرح في النار. إلا أنه لا يؤخذ من الصيام، فإن الصيام لا يقتص به، يعني يأخذ من جميع حسناته إلا الصيام، إلا الصيام. هذا معنى فإنه لي، يعني يقتص الرجل المظلوم من الظالم من كل شيء في أعماله الحسنة إلا الصيام. وقوله أيضا فإنه لي أي فإنه عبادة لم تكن لأحد في الكون، أو لم تكن لصنم، أو لم تكن لمخلوق، إنما هي كانت عبادة خالصة لي. والمراد أن المشركين كانوا يتقربون إلى الأصنام بالصدقات والنذور والسجود والاعتكاف، لكنهم لم يتقربوا إلى الأصنام بالصيام، وكان الصيام هو العبادة الخالصة لله سبحانه وتعالى التي تقرب العباد بها لله وحده ولم يتقربوا بها لأحد سوى. هذه ثلاثة معان وردت أو أوردها الأئمة في قوله تعالى فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. والله عز وجل يجزي بالصيام على وجه لا يستطيع أحد أن يقدره أبدا. لماذا؟ لأن الإخلاص هو أعظم عبادة يتقرب بها العباد إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. تفضل.
طيب الشيخ حافظ الوصيف حفظه الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As you probably noticed, we had a disruption in the communications. The first part is going to be paraphrased. The Sheikh started by saying, all praises due to Allah, the Lord of the words, and I bear witness is no Lord except Allah alone without any partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Really, the best of speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the worst of the matters are the newly innovated matters. Every newly innovated matter is an innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance. Every misguidance is in the hellfire. We seek refuge with Allah for us and you from the hellfire. Ameen, ameen. The month of Ramadan is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored his servants with so many blessings that cannot be counted, cannot be comprehended. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared his servants for that month by opening the gates of the paradise and closing the gates of the hellfire. Allah opened the gates of mercy, opened the gates of the heavens, and closed, or rather chained, the worst of the devils. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this ummah, the Muslims, with the month of Ramadan. This month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed us with so much beyond count and beyond comprehension. And this is the kind of month, or this is the month in which Allah did not leave no excuse whatsoever for anybody. This is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran as a guidance to the people, as a clarification and a criterion to mankind. This is the month in which good deeds are multiplied many, many times over beyond imagination. This is the month where the necks of mankind are freed from the hellfire. In it is the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, a night that's better than a whole thousand months. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of the previous sins of a servant for whoever fasts this month, imanan wa ihtisaba, upon iman, upon belief, and upon expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word iman and here means that you believe in the obligation of the fasting as a believer. And ihtisaba, meaning that you're only expecting that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So you do not, as a servant, ever seek the reward for the fasting except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's only appropriate that we enter in this month while we try to understand the greatness of this month, because we are talking about a very great affair in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself told us, as mentioned in the hadith of Abi Huraira in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as Muslim, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasallam said, all of the actions of the sons of Adam is for him. Every good action will be rewarded by 10 deeds, up to 700 multiples of that, except for fasting, except for a siyam, or except for a sawm, and both refer to fasting. It is only for me, meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I reward my servant with it. In the introduction of this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified to us how he recompenses his servants, how he blesses and bestows upon his servants whatever he wills. For every good action of the servant, Allah will reward him with at least 10 times up to 700 times. Because if the servant, for example, does not do a certain action, it will be written by Allah as one good deed. But if the servant does it, if the servant does one good action, then it will be written by 10 times over, up to 700 times over. And that's just for any good action except for the fasting. And this, as the Sheikh said, is the way you should do your math when it comes to your good deeds, as we learn from this hadith. For example, when you look at a servant who intends to do something, let's say he intended to do something with evil, wal'iyadu billah, but never did it, never does it. If a servant intend to do a bad deed, just intend to do it, but he never does it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write that for him as one good deed. But if the servant, wal'iyadu billah, intends to do an evil deed and actually does it, and actually physically does it, then it is written for them as one bad deed. And here when we say intend, intending with a will, that never ends, meaning consistently wanted to do something. And here, as the Sheikh said, Habibullah, that he wanted to do this action, but there was something that prevented him from doing this action. So since that servant, wal'iyadu billah, that intended to do an evil deed and had a consistent intention upon that evil deed, is regretting the fact that there's something preventing him or her from doing such an evil deed. And this is why, and it was clear to the people around him, wal'iyadu billah, that his intention is to harm the people, for example, then we know that this man, wal'iyadu billah, is wicked in his nafs, is khabithu nafs, wal'iyadu billah. But yet, something by the will of Allah prevented him from falling into evil or doing evil. But yet, his intention never waned or never stopped. Then, wal'iyadu billah, that person, since he's still intending to do such an evil action, whatever that may be, he, wal'iyadu billah, or she, is upon an evil deed, or will reap an evil deed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the man that was given wealth and did not have knowledge. He was given wealth and did not have knowledge. And he did not have any taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding his wealth. For example, he did not connect the ties of the wombs with his wealth. He did not give the people their rights out of the wealth, the rights of Allah upon him to the people. He did not give those rights to the people, and neither to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in contrast, there is a man that was did not have wealth, and he did not have knowledge. And he said, if I have wealth like this guy, like this other man, I would have done like him. Then in that case, wal'iyadu billah, the one who's doing the evil deed and the one that is wishing to be like him are upon the same evil deed, wal'iyadu billah. They're reaping the same evil reward or evil deeds, wal'iyadu billah. Because this man wished that he has money to use it upon the sin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the disobedience of Allah. And no punishment, no warning, no heed ever prevented him from falling into such a sin. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, as we paraphrase in the whole hadith, they're both upon the same evil deed equally, wal'iyadu billah. Another example to clarify the point is when two Muslims meet fighting one another in battle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us both will end up in the hellfire. When the companions asked the Prophet of Allah alayhi wasallam, we understand the killer will be the hellfire. How about the one that has been killed? Why is he going to end up in the hellfire? Till the end of the hadith. Because, wal'iyadu billah, as we remember from this hadith, the one that was killed had the intention to kill the one fighting him in the battle, the one that killed him. as a Muslim. والعياذ بالله. So if somebody intend to fall into a full into an evil deed and does not do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him one good deed. If somebody intend to do an evil deed and does not do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him or her one good deed. And if somebody does not intend to do any evil deed and did not insist on doing so, then it will be written for him as a complete one good deed. Again, if somebody intend to do something that is evil and actually physically does it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write it for him as one evil deed. As we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down all good deeds as well as evil deeds. He writes all good deeds, all of the hasanat, as well as the sayyat. And we have clarified the reality of what is this in this hadith, as we mentioned earlier, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. In this hadith, the point that we really have to pay attention to, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the fasting, is for me, and I will recompense, I will reward my servant for it. As for the fasting, is for me, only for me, meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will reward the servant for it. As the Sheikh said, and quoted again from the hadith, at the end of the hadith, and Allah multiplies those good deeds for whoever He wills. But pay attention, we're talking about all of the good deeds except for the fasting. And we know that Allah provides without count. Allah provides without count, with no limit whatsoever. As we know from the ayat, and whoever does an action of good, male or female, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into the paradise. And he will be provided for without count, without limit. In other words, as the Sheikh said, he or she will be literally loaded with givings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again. It will be loaded with blessings from Allah in the hereafter over and over again. Again, except for the fasting. The fasting here is greater than everything we mentioned so far, except for the fasting, is greater than all of this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice those who are upon the fast in ways they can never comprehend, in so much reward that only Allah knows how much it is. The point here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith upon the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّهُ لِي, it is for me. We learn from this that is an action that is that's sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهُ لِي means it is a sincere action for myself, meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will reward you for it. Another meaning for the term in the hadith, فَإِنَّهُ لِي, refers to the fact that the action of fasting is a sincere action, meaning that Allah reward the servant in it based upon his or her sincerity. Remember this point, a matter of ikhlas or sincerity, there's nothing greater between a servant and his Lord than the fact of sincerity, than the matter of sincerity. And the hadith, as we mentioned, has many meanings. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أُجْزِي بِهِ, in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, it is for me, meaning it is a hidden action that is sincere from the heart then only Allah knows of, and Allah will reward you for it. So this action, the action of fasting, full of sincerity, and if the heart is firm and is straight upon that sincerity, and is shown upon the limbs of the body and the organs of the body, that action is sincere for Allah alone without any partner. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept any action in the religion of Allah except that which is sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any action in the religion of Allah must be according to what Allah have commanded, and must be sincere, meaning the way Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam did it. Must be exactly the way Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam did it. It was said also regarding this hadith, except for fasting, because fasting is an expiation, is a kafara for the servant. The objective here of that statement, that the siyam is not used as in any form of exchange in the hereafter. And we're going to explain this. The siyam and the fasting can never be taken away from the servant in the hereafter, even if the servant, wal-iyadu billah, had so much oppression in his lifetime. As we know from the hadith, a man may come on the day of judgment, and he, in his lifetime, when he was still alive in this world, have cursed this person, have insulted this person, have hit this person, have done harm to that person, and so on. And again, we're only paraphrasing the hadith to make things clear. Then it will be taken from his good deeds and given to those he did wrong in the hereafter. And when his good deeds are run out, then it will be taken from their evil deeds, from those he did wrong in this life, and given to him, to the oppressor. And consequently, he will be thrown in the hellfire, wal-iyadu billah. In that scenario, nobody can take from the fasting of a person, even if he was fitting that description in the hadith. The siyam, the fasting, cannot be taken from anybody. In other words, the reward of siyam cannot be taken from anybody, regardless. All of the other good deeds, except fasting, can be taken from a servant in the hereafter. And siyam or fasting can never be taken from the servant in the hereafter in any kind of judgment. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Also, another way to explain fa'innahu li in hadith, meaning it is an action of worship that was never legislated for anybody in the universe before the Muslim. It was never done for an idol or for a creature, but rather, it was always an action of worship that was sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The point here that the people of shirk or polytheism used to seek nearness to their idols with the charities, with promises, with the prostrations, with making i'tikaf, with going into isolation and worshiping their idols and so on. Wal-iyadu billah. But people of shirk never ever try to gain closeness or nearness to their idols with fasting. So siyam, fasting, was always a sincere action of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. In other words, the servants of Allah never seek closeness or nearness to anything with fasting except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. They never try to seek closeness or nearness to other than Allah with fasting. So that covers the three different meanings of the statement in the hadith, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أُجْزِي بِهِ. It is for me, and I reward my servants for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Sheikh said, reward in a way that nobody can ever comprehend, because al-siyam, fasting, is the greatest action of worship through which you as a servant can gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نعم.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. تقدم في الحديث الذي رواه أبو هريرة أن الله تبارك وتعالى قال: كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. وبين الله سبحانه وتعالى معنى أن الصوم له في عمل العبد، قال: يدع طعامه وشهوته من أجلي. والمراد أنه يترك الطعام عندما تشتد حرارة البطن ويحتاج الإنسان إلى الطعام والشراب ليبرد تلك الحرارة الموجودة في البطن، فإنه يتركها لله سبحانه وتعالى فيستشعر ألم الجوع رغبة في رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى، ويترك شهوته عندما تشتهي نفسه الملذات ومن سائر الأطعمة والشراب والجماع وغير ذلك، فإنه يترك ذلك من أجل الله عز وجل. قوله من أجلي أي محبة لي، وهذا هو الأصل، أن المحبة من أعظم الأعمال التي يتقرب بها العبد إلى ربه سبحانه وتعالى، يعني تركته محبة لله عز وجل. قال: ومن أجلي أي من أجل رؤية وجهي يوم القيامة، إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. فهو قوله لوجه الله أي ابتغاء رؤية وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالعبد يترك هذه المباحات محبة في الله وابتغاء رؤية وجهه سبحانه وتعالى. واللذة التي يتحصلها الإنسان من رؤية وجه الله عز وجل أعظم من كل لذة في الدنيا على الإطلاق. فأنت تنسى ملذات الدنيا لأجل لذة مستقبلة تنالها يوم القيامة، وتتفاوت تلك اللذة بتفاوت درجات الإيمان، كما قال تعالى: انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. هناك من يرى الله عز وجل في الجنة مرة، وهناك من يراه مرتين، وهناك من يكون قريبا منه، وهناك من يكون بعيدا. فكلما يقترب الإنسان من ربه سبحانه وتعالى كلما يتلذذ لذة في رؤية وجهه أعظم من غيره. وإذا تعددت الرؤية في اليوم الواحد ففيها لذة ليست موجودة عند من يراه مرة واحدة. وأن الله عز وجل يكسو وجوه الذين يرونه نورا، وهذا من آثار رؤية وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى. فأين هذا من ذاك؟ أين الدنيا من الآخرة؟ أين ما تتركه في الدنيا من أجل ما تأمله وتتمناه في الآخرة؟ فلا قيمة لما تتركه في الدنيا في مقابل ما تنتظره من الأجر والثواب في الآخرة. إذن وأنا إنه لي أي محبة لي، ابتغاء رؤية وجهي ورضواني ورضائي. قال: أحل عليكم رضواني فلا أسخط عليكم أبدا. هذا من أعظم العطايا على الإطلاق. الأمر الآخر أن الصوم فعله العبد طاعة لله، أي فإنه لي أي طاعة لي، طاعة لي يعني طاعة تعبدا لي، وطمعا في نيل مرضاتي يوم القيامة. يعني كلمة لي متعلقة بمحبة الله ومحبة ذاته وصفاته وأسمائه، والأمر الآخر متعلقة بعطائه ونعمه التي ينعم بها، ومن أعظم تلك النعم رؤية وجهه الكريم ورضاؤه سبحانه وتعالى عن عبده يوم القيامة، يرضى عن عبده المؤمن ولا يسخط عليه أبدا، ولا يسخط عليه أبدا. فهذا معنى فإنه لي. إذن هذا الحديث في مقدمته دل على مكانة الإخلاص. إذن الإخلاص هو أعظم الطرق الموصلة إلى الله عز وجل، هذه واحدة. المخلص لا يرى في عمله إلا وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولذلك فإنه يجعل الله سبحانه وتعالى أعظم الناظرين إليه، فلا يقدم نظر أحد على نظر الله إليه. والمراد أي أنه لا يعمل عملا لكي ينظر الناس إليه ولكي يراه الناس أو يسمعه الناس، وإنما يعمل العمل لكي يراه الله فقط وينظر إليه الله تبارك وتعالى فقط. ولذلك المخلص لا يحب أن يكون له قدرا عند الناس، ولا يتمنى أن يعظم قدره عند الناس، إنما يتمنى أن يعظم قدره عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. فلذلك يعمل عمل السر لا يحب اطلاع الناس إليه أو عليه، يعني يعمل العمل لا يحب أن يطلع عليه أحد. وما من عمل كان السلف يعملونه في السر فيعملونه علانية، يعملونه علانية، يعني أعظم الأعمال التي يعملها العبد ابتغاء وجه الله عز وجل إنما تكون في السر، وهذا هو أعظم الأعمال. كذلك المؤمن لا يحب كما قلنا أن يطلع الناس على حسناته وعلى عباداته وعلى صلاته وعلى زكاته وعلى قراءته للقرآن وعلى، لا يحب ذلك، وإنما لأنه لا يريد قدرا عند الناس. ولو اطلع الناس على سيئاته فإن هذا أمر لا يضره، لأنه لا يطلب الزيادة عند الناس. لو حرص المرء على أن يبرز للناس بجميع حسناته، وإذا ظهرت سيئاته تغير وغضب وسخط، فهذا كان يتمنى لنفسه مقاما عند الناس. المخلص يكون مقصوده ومراده رب العزة سبحانه وتعالى، ولذلك فهو يدور مع مراد الله حيث دار، ويدور مع القرآن حيث دار، ويدور مع السنة حيث دارت السنة، ويدور مع العلماء والصالحين حيث داروا. فلا يوالي أحدا على حساب دين الله، لا يوالي إلا أهل الإسلام وأهل الإيمان، ولا يغضب إذا غضب إلا لله، ولا يغضب إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا يفرح إلا بعطايا الله سبحانه وتعالى وفضله. قال تعالى قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا، يعني لا يفرح بجاه ولا بسلطان ولا بدنيا فانية، إنما يفرح بما أعطى الله ومن عليه به من الإيمان والرحمة والقرآن والسنة. والمؤمن لا يرائي في عمله، لأن المرائي جاهل بعظمة الله، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى له أسماء وصفات عظيمة القدر والمقام، فلا بد أن يشهد المرء جلال أسماء الله وصفاته، ويعلم أن مشاهدة آثار الأسماء والصفات والاستغراق في شهود أسماء الله وصفاته وعظمة أسماء الله وصفاته، فإن ذلك ينير قلبه ولسانه، أما الجاهل فإنه يرائي لأنه لا يرى عظمة الله، فإذا رأى تغير قلبه واسود وجهه والعياذ بالله. ولذلك العلماء كانوا يداوون قلوبهم بالإخلاص، لأن القلوب فيها علل وأمراض، والنفوس فيها علل وأمراض تحول بينك وبين الإخلاص، فيها الكبر وفيها الخيلاء وفيها العجب وفيها حب الدنيا وفيها حب البقاء في الدنيا. الشاهد أن الإخلاص ألا تجعل لنفسك حظا في عملك، وإنما تجعل عملك كله لله، فبمقدار إخلاصك تدخل الجنة إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم، وبمقدار إخلاصك تستحق الشفاعة، ولا تزول الفتن والشبهات إلا بالإخلاص، ولا يحول الله بينك وبين المعاصي والسيئات إلا بالإخلاص، ولا يدفع عنك حسد الحاسدين وعين العائنين إلا بالإخلاص. قال تعالى: كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. تفضل.
إذا الشيخ كنت حفظه الله said, Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. As we mentioned the hadith of Abi Huraira that's narrated in Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, all of the actions of the sons of Adam is for him except fasting. It is for me, and I will reward him for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us what is the meaning of fasting and what or how fasting counts within the action of the servant. As mentioned in the hadith, he leaves off his food and his desires for me, meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point that the servant of Allah leaves permissible food and stays away from that food even when the heat of his stomach kicks in, even when he knows that he needs that food and drink to cool down that stomach, he stays away from it. Even when he feels the pains of hunger, he stays away from it for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He or she leaves off all the desires, even though his nafs is egging him for all kinds of pleasures, including food, drink, and sexual intercourse. It is for me, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the hadith al-Qudsi, as we stated earlier. فَإِنَّهُ لِي. That means that the fasting is from the greatest actions of worship, that by which the servant seeks nearness and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What that means, when Allah said, فَإِنَّهُ لِي, it is for me, it is for the sake of seeing me, meaning seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and verily, we feed you for the sake of Allah, or for the face of Allah. We don't want from you any recompense or any thankfulness. We feed you only for the sake of Allah. We do not want from you any reward or any recompense. So it is for the sake of seeing Allah. That's what that means in the hereafter. So the servant leaves everything that he or she loves in this world for the sake of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. The pleasures that we as human beings may attain in the hereafter is beyond any pleasure that we can get in this life of ours across the board. So you as a servant leaves off all of the pleasures of this world for the sake of a pleasure in the future that will vary according to the degree of iman you're upon. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat, and look, meaning look at the believers, how we have preferred them one to the other till the end of this ayat. As we know from the narrations, there will be those from amongst the believers that would be blessed with seeing Allah one time in the hereafter. And there will be those who will see Allah twice. There will be those in the hereafter that will be far from Allah, meaning in the paradise, and there will be those. So the servant who leaves off all of the pleasures of this life of ours for the sake of a pleasure that he or she is longing for in the future, meaning in the hereafter. And that, of course, is going to be varied according to the degree of iman the servant is upon. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, verse 21, I believe, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what it means, see how we prefer one above another in this world. And verily, the hereafter will be greater in degrees and greater in preference. As the Shaykh said, Hafidhahullah, there will be those that will be given the blessing of seeing Allah once in the hereafter. There will be those that will be able to see Allah twice, and that might be within the same day in the paradise. There will be those from amongst the believers will be closer to Allah than others in the paradise. The more the servant seeks closeness and nearness to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more pleasure he will experience, he or she will experience by being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers those who are upon his pleasure with a light. He drowns them, in other words, in light. So where is this from that? Where is this life of ours compared to the hereafter, in other words? Where is everything that you go through in this life in exchange for what is waiting for you in the hereafter? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith, innahu li, it is for me. Meaning that my servant is doing this out of loving me, out of longing to see me in the hereafter, out of seeking my pleasure. And the other affair here, the other point or the other matter, that the matter of sawm, the matter of fasting, the servant does it out of obedience for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon worship, upon longing in attaining the pleasures of Allah in the hereafter. The word here, li, itself, as mentioned in the hadith, deals with the love of Allah and the love of the beautiful names of Allah and the perfect attributes of Allah. The other point here, it deals with the giving, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of which seeing his face in the paradise and his pleasure with you on the day of judgment, or the pleasure of Allah with his servant on the day of judgment. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with his servant, with his believing servant, and is not angry with him at all, forever, for eternity. So in the beginning of this hadith, we learn about what is the true meaning of ikhlas or sincerity. And we also learned that the matter of ikhlas or sincerity is the greatest way through which you can gain the pleasure of Allah. A person who's sincere, you will never see him upon, you'll never see upon his face or her face except the pleasure of Allah. In other words, he does not find except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking at him all of the time. In other words, he's only longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see what he or she is doing. And he never thinks about the looking or the looks of others at him. He never prefers the looks of any creature above and beyond his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, he does what he does only to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only to knowing that Allah is looking at him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why a person who is sincere does not care about having any kind of value or status or position amongst the people. Does not ever hope that anybody will give him respect or glorify his status amongst the people. That's why a sincere person only wishes for the best position with Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sincere person would do the action in secret, not wanting anybody to know what he's doing or what she's doing. Not a single action the past predecessors used to do in secret will ever do in the open. Meaning that the greatest actions that you can do to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be in secret, must be hidden from the people. That is the case with the mu'min, with the believer. He tries hard for not letting anybody know his actions of worship. He tries hard for not letting anybody see in him, for example, his beautiful recitation of the Quran, or the charity that he gives out, or other than that, of any good deeds that pleases Allah. Because again, that believer is not wanting any status amongst the people. Even if the people know of his evil deeds, he does not care for that. He knows when the people find out anything bad about him, that will never harm him or her, because he's not looking for any increase amongst the people. So a person who's mukhlis, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, does not care for any exposure that he gets from the people due to something bad that he's done. Wal-iyadu billah. He knows that this affair will never harm him or her, because he's not seeking the increase amongst the people. And he knows any kind of increase amongst the people will never bring any harm to himself or herself. If a person strives, wal-iyadu billah, to show off all of his good deeds to the people, that person is only wishing to be known amongst the people, which is a complete contrast to somebody who's sincere. A sincere person, al-mukhlis, will only rotate around what Allah wants him to do. Al-mukhlis, or sincere person, will rotate around the Quran and what it entails of commands and forbidden. Al-mukhlis, the sincere person, will rotate with the sunnah wherever the sunnah takes him or her. The sincere person will rotate or be around the scholars and the righteous and follow upon
and follow up. The al-mukhlis will be around the scholars and the righteous, and be around whatever they say or do. But yet at the same time, al-mukhlis or the sincere will never take sides with somebody, wal-iyadu billah, at the count of Allah or opposite to what Allah wants him to be upon. Al-mukhlis or the sincere never feels anger and never feels happiness or joy except for the sake of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, say, O Muhammad, by the bounty of Allah and by His mercy. So this, meaning for the believers, should be happy for that. Al-mukhlis or the sincere is never happy with any status, any authority, or any kind of wal-iyadu billah, yani a prevalence amongst the people. But rather, the sincere person is only happy by what or with what Allah has given him of iman and rahmah or sunnah or mercy and sunnah. The believer never ever shows off in his action, because the person who does so, al-mura'i, or the showing off person, is ignorant of the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who shows off is ignorant of the beautiful names of Allah and the perfect attributes of Allah. So it's a must upon us as believers to witness and understand the might and the power of the beautiful names and the perfect attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a must upon us to learn that knowing the names and attributes of Allah and drowning into the evidence and proofs regarding that will bring light to our hearts and our tongue. As for the ignorant, wal-iyadu billah, you find him showing off because he's not seeing the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he ever does, meaning the ignorant, see anything other than what he's longing for, you will find his heart changing and his, wal-iyadu billah, yani his heart negating that, and his face is darkening with despair or the fact of negation of the might and power of Allah. This is why you find the scholars, for example, you find the scholars curing their hearts with sincerity, because they know that the hearts, that the nufus, that the souls has so much deficiencies and shortcomings and disease. Amongst those diseases is pride, is showing off, is love, loving of staying in this life of ours. The benefit here, dear brothers and sisters, that don't ever, ever make for yourself any portion in your action except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, make all of your actions all together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more sincere you are, the closer you are to the paradise. The more sincere you are, the more intercession of our Prophet والسلام, will be there for you. The more sincere you are, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent or come between you and your evil deeds. The more sincere you are, the more you push the envy of the enviers and the evil eye of those who try to give you such an eye. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat, and that is how we turn away any kind of evil and lewd actions away from because they are verily from our sincere slaves, as the ayat states.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بينا فيما تقدم أن الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الصوم له ابتغاء وجهه سبحانه وتعالى خالصا لمحبته سبحانه وتعالى وطاعته وابتغاء مرضاته سبحانه وتعالى في الآخرة. لذلك فإن الصوم مدخر للعبد، لا ينقص أجره ولا يذهب أجره ولا يضيع، فهو محفوظ عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، لا ينال منه كفارة في قصاص، ولا يذهب بالرياء أو السمعة لأنه عمل خالص. فالعمل إذا دخله رياء أو السمعة فإنه يذهب، أما الصيام فإنه لا يدخله رياء ولا سمعة، لأن العمل فيه ابتغاء وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى، وحظ المرء فيه هو رضوان الله عز وجل. ولذلك جعل الله عز وجل الأجر فيه عظيم، وهذا مترتب كما كنا على الإخلاص الذي يستوي فيه عمل الباطن مع عمل الظاهر. والصوم كما كنا عبادة لم تقدم لأحد إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى، فهذه أوجه الإخلاص في قوله الصوم لي وأنا أجزي به، يعني جزاء لا يعلم الجزاء إذا تم إخفاؤه، وهو هنا غير معروف، فهذا معناه أنه لا يمكن أن يقدر أبدا بالمقاييس التي تقدر بها بقية العبادات، ولا يقدر في أذهان العباد. يعني العبادة الحسنة بعشر أمثال إلى 700 ضعف، أما الصوم فإنه لا يستطيع أحد تقديره ولا يقدر بموازين العبادات الأخرى، فالصوم مخصوص كما تقدم بيانه لأنه لله سبحانه وتعالى. فهذا دليل كما قلنا على أن الإخلاص هو أعظم عبادة يتقرب بها المرء إلى الله عز وجل، وهذا يستدعي تحقيق النية وتخلص النية. ولذلك كان نية العبد كانت نية العبد أبلغ من عمله، أبلغ من عمله يعني أعظم من عمله. والنية متعلقة بالمقصد والمراد الذي يخفيه الإنسان في قلبه، وهذا عمل وهذا أمر دقيق للغاية. كان الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم والعلماء والصديقون والأئمة الكبار يجاهدون أنفسهم في الإخلاص كي يتحقق الإخلاص، فليس هناك عمل شاق على المرء أشق من تحقيق الإخلاص، يعني أشد من تحقيق الإخلاص، لأن الإنسان يدفع فيه حظ نفسه. ولذلك كان أئمة السلف الصالح رضي الله تعالى عنهم يعملون جميع الأعمال ناظرين في حقيقة الإخلاص، هل هذا العمل لله أم أنه لغير الله؟ فإذا كان العمل لله عز وجل فرحوا وخافوا على أنفسهم أن يدخله أو يداخله شيء من الرياء أو شيء مما يغضب الله سبحانه وتعالى، يعني أشد شيء، لأن الله لا يقبل من العمل إلا ما كان خالصا صوابا كما قلنا. والله عز وجل قال من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه، وفي رواية تركته وشريكه، يعني هو ومن عمل له العمل، وفي قراءة تركته وشركه، يعني والخطأ والضلال الذي وقع فيه. فالله سبحانه وتعالى لا يقبل العمل إلا ما كان خالصا، وذي قال يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. لذلك قدم الإخلاص، وهذا في الصيام، وهذا إشارة إلى جميع الأعمال. أن الإخلاص في جميع الأعمال خير من الأعمال نفسها، خير من الأعمال نفسها. ولذلك كان الصحابة يضبطون النيات ويجهزون النيات قبل أي عمل. إذا كان العمل لله تقدموا وعملوا، وإذا كان لغير الله انقطعوا وتركوه. فإن العمل إذا كان ثابتا حقيقيا تقدموا، إذا كان على الإسلام والسنة تقدموا، إذا كان مقدورا عليه تقدموا وفعلوه، إذا كان خالصا لوجه الله سبحانه وتعالى تقدموا وفعلوه. فهم لا يعملون الأعمال إلا التي يخلص فيها المرء لله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا هو حظ الموحدين، هذا هو حظ الموحدين. ولا
خلاص الشيء
لا إله إلا الله. فالعمل كما قلت هو حفظ الإخلاص، كما قلت هو حفظ الموحدين وعلامة الصادقين. ولولا أن الرياء مذموم، لولا أن الله عز وجل ذم الرياء لكان النفاق محمودا. فالرياء مذموم، فلذلك كان النفاق مذموما. يعني لو كان الرياء محبوبا لكان النفاق محبوبا، ولكن الله عز وجل ذم الرياء فدل ذلك على ذم النفاق والعياذ بالله، لأن الرياء فرع من النفاق والعياذ بالله سبحانه وتعالى. فنحن نخشى على أعمالنا أن يداخلها الرياء، ولذلك الصحابة رضي الله عنهم كانوا يخافون على أنفسهم من النفاق، والمراد النفاق الأصغر وليس نفاق الاعتقاد. فإنهم كانوا يقنون بالله ويؤمنون بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله، وكانوا ثابتين على التوحيد، ولكنهم كانوا يخافون الرياء في الأعمال، لأن الرياء في الأعمال يوصل في النهاية إلى النفاق الأكبر والعياذ بالله. ولذلك قالوا يخشى على من كثر الرياء عنده ألا يختم له بلا إله إلا الله. يعني العمل، الإنسان يعمل العمل لأجل حظ الدنيا، لأجل أن يذكر عند الناس، لأجل أن يكون له جاه وسلطان، لأجل أن يكون له مال. يعمل العمل لا يعمله إلا ابتغاء الدنيا. الشاهد أن الذي يعمل العمل ابتغاء الدنيا وابتغاء الذكر وابتغاء المدح والثناء وابتغاء القدر والمكانة عند الناس، هذا يخشى عليه ألا يختم له بكلمة لا إله إلا الله. يعني كثير الرياء شرك أصغر، يخشى على صاحبه أن يموت على الشرك الأكبر والعياذ بالله. لذلك يجب عليه أن يحقق الإخلاص في جميع أعماله، وأن يتخلص من الرياء، وأن لا يبحث عن حظ نفسه، وأن يبحث عن مرضاة الله سبحانه وتعالى، حتى ينال الأجر العظيم عند الله سبحانه وتعالى يوم القيامة. أسأل الله يتقبل منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال، وأن يغفر لنا في هذا الشهر، وأن يجعلنا من عتقائه من النار، وأن يجعلنا من المقبولين، وأن يثبت قلوبنا على الدين، وأن يختم بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا، وأن يرحمنا بالإسلام والسنة. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام. جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ. بارك الله فيكم.
مع السلامة.
مع السلامة. So in conclusion, the Shaykh Abdullah said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. As we showed earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fact or the action of fasting sincerely for his faith. In other words, a servant does the action of fasting or does fast seeking the love of Allah, the obedience of Allah, and the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the fasting is more of a savings account for the servant that is never losing any of it. Again, fasting is saved for the servant and none of it will ever be lost for whatever reason and will never go away. It is preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward for fasting is preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No expiation will take away from that fasting. For example, in the matter of judging between the oppressor and the oppressed. And it may not even go away, meaning the reward for fasting will not go away due to showing off or status, because it is a sincere action between the servant and his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. But any action of the actions of the believers, if it's ever mingled with showing off or status, will never lead to any reward either. The matter of fasting, though, the portion for the servant due to fasting will lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified a huge reward for fasting. But that reward is built upon sincerity. And sincerity is where the action of the heart equals the action of the limbs. Or the hidden actions of the servant are equal to the obvious action of the servant. And these are the ways of ikhlas. These are the ways or the different forms of sincerity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith al-Qudsi on the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we mentioned in this sitting, fasting is for me and I reward my servant for it. But when it comes to the reward here for fasting is unknown. Allah is hiding how much reward is hidden for us due to fasting. Nobody can tell you how much reward you'll ever get for fasting. So it can never be measured by any form of scale. In contrast to the rest of the actions of worship that are obligated upon us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the same hadith, Al-Hasana, the one good deed, is multiplied 10 times over up to 700 times over. Except for fasting, we can never count, as we have clarified that, as we have clarified this before or previously. This is a proof for us that the matter of sincerity is the greatest action of worship by which you gain closeness and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that requires also fulfilling the intention and freeing that intention from any deficiency whatsoever. Make it pure for the sake of Allah. This is why the intention of action, the intention itself of any action, is more important and greater than the action itself. Because your intention deals with your objective and your goal that you're hiding from everybody else in your heart, except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This matter is very intricate. The Sahaba, the scholars, the righteous, would strive against their own selves when it comes to matter of ikhlas or sincerity. There's no action that is harder upon the servant of Allah than fulfilling or bringing sincerity into reality.
Because we, as human beings, have to deal with this, to purify our actions only for the sake of Allah. This is why the scholars of the past predecessors, the scholars of the Sunnah, always looked at all of their actions and judged whatever action they do, was that action for the sake of Allah or not. If the action was for the sake of Allah, it should never have any kind of showing off mingled with it, or anything that may bring the wrath of Allah upon you as an individual. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another hadith Qudsi upon the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever does an action in which he joined with me other than me, or took as partners with me other than me, I left him off, I left him behind, and his actions. In another narration, I left him and his partners behind. In another narration, I left him and his shirk behind, his polytheism behind. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never accept the action except if it was only sincere for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, on a day when no wealth and no children will benefit you except those who have come to the Lord with a correct, righteous heart. This matter of sincerity must be applied in all of the actions of the servant. Again, the matter of sincerity itself is more important in all of your actions than the actions themselves. This is why we knew and learned that the companions of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah be pleased with them all, always strive hard against themselves and always confirm their intention within themselves before they do any action based on that intention. When they knew for sure they're doing something for the sake of Allah, then they would do it. But if they find out whatever they're doing is for other than Allah, they stay away from it. In other words, if whatever they were doing is based upon the religion of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, then they would rush and do it, and so on. They would never do an action except if they were sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. And that is the portion, actually, this, as you may refer to it, the treasure of those who are upon monotheism, al-muwahideen. Ikhlas, sincerity, only belongs to those who are upon tawheed or monotheism. The sign of the righteous, it is the sign of righteous, meaning ikhlas itself is a sign of those who are upon righteousness. If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hating showing off, for example, matter of hypocrisy would be praised amongst the people. But we know matter of showing off is hated by Allah. This is why hypocrisy is hated by Allah. In other words, if showing off was ever beloved, then hypocrisy would be praised. But remember, the matter of riya or showing off is a branch of nifaq or hypocrisy. This is why we fear upon our actions to be mingled with any kind of showing off or riya. This is why the Sahaba themselves, the companions of our Messenger, may Allah be pleased with them all, used to fear upon themselves to fall into nifaq or hypocrisy. But this kind of nifaq here is only minor nifaq, not nifaq in their belief, wal'iyadu billah, because the Sahaba believed in Allah, His angels, His books, and His messengers, and so on. They took this religion straight from the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. They only feared matter of showing off or nifaq in their actions, because they knew well that if they ever had any kind of riya or nifaq in their actions, that wal'iyadu billah may lead them to major hypocrisy. It was said amongst the scholars of the Sunnah, it is feared upon those who have done so much showing off in their actions that their actions will be sealed off by them preventing from saying the Shahada at the time they're dying. In other words, it is feared upon a person who has fallen into so much riya or showing off in his actions to be sealed with or to be sealed without La ilaha illallah. A person may be doing an action for the sake that he gets a portion of this life of ours or gets something out of this dunya, this life of ours, this world. So whoever does an action seeking this life, whoever does an action seeking being known for it, or praise from the people, or status or position and the like amongst the people, it is feared upon him or her that they will not be sealed with La ilaha illallah, that their actions in this life will not be sealed with the faith or the testimony of faith. So we know that falling into so much showing off will lead to minor shirk. And that minor polytheism, wal-iyadu billah, may lead a person to die upon major shirk or major polytheism, wal-iyadu billah. This is why we as believers must fulfill sincerity in all of our actions and never ever expect any portion of whatever we do as a reward for ourselves. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and you our righteous deeds. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us and you from those who will be free during that month from the hellfire. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our deeds and yours accepted by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts and yours firm upon His sunnah and seal our actions and yours with righteous deeds. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His mercy upon us and you, Islam and Sunnah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as always, anything that I said as a translator that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaitan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.